Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
His name, to actually know them in the spirit. And I'm just encouraged this morning that we are pushing through into new ground today. And every now and then it takes a word in season for us to break new ground. And I've felt this on me the whole week. Let me tell you, I was supposed to preach last week. I did not want to preach last week. And so guess what? I didn't. And, you know, that's perfectly okay. And I just felt that I was in a battle myself. And who's ever been in a battle? Who's ever felt like you've been in a spiritual battle, in a spiritual dry? And I want us to break through today. Because I felt like I've had some breakthrough. And I know the numbers aren't huge this morning, but you're here, and it's through your breakthrough that can change the atmosphere even in this place today. And we are going to take ground, and I'm just believing for that. But first, before I go into what I feel God was wanting me to say, I do have some prophetic operating this morning. And when I was walking this morning, there, if you look down the telegraph poles, like my uncle used to put telegraph poles in the ground, and he was a stickler for having the telegraph poles perfectly plumb and in line down the road. But I was looking down the road today, and there was these perfectly straight telegraph poles, but one was like this. It was just off to the side. It was still standing. The wires were still connected, but it was like all the straight poles were holding this one crooked pole. Who feels like that crooked pole this morning? Not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that we're just going to pray that it would straighten up and that it would come back. Is that you, Julie? Could you come, please? And if there's anybody else that's got that feels like the same thing, it's not a bad thing. We're just going to say, let's stand straight, let's stand tall, let's stand straight, let's stand in line, let's see what God's, and the power will run through. As you come by faith this morning, God just doesn't give me these words and for no reason. And so, Father, I thank you, God, by faith this morning, I speak, stand tall. Let the power force of heaven drive through your wires this morning. May there be healing running through your very being today. You are standing tall. See yourself standing tall and straight. Tall and straight. In line with all the others. You felt like you've been a bit crooked. You felt like you've been a little bit out of whack. But God's saying, stand tall with the others. I've caused you to be tall and straight and stand in line. You're part of the army, part of the life force of this church. And Father, I thank you, God, for the anointing upon this sister. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you're just going to just transform and change her today by your spirit. So just receive that right now. Just receive God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Power, just see I see the electricity wires, there's just power just running through. Power running through your very being, through your veins, through your whole will, your feelings, your emotions. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your healing. Thank you, Lord. You are going to be different walking out of here today. I want you to stay there. I want you to stay there. The other word I had was an encouraging word. Who knows, it's dry at the moment and we need rain. But you'll see the big trees have got their roots down deep. And you'll see the lawns coming up to the trees and around the trees, and you'll see these big dry patches of grass and lawn around the big trees, because their roots are pulling all the moisture and the water from the water from the ground, and you'll see dry patch right around these big trees. And I just want to declare that we are oaks of righteousness, and that our roots do go deep. See yourself as the roots going deep into Christ, where even if there is a drought, even if there is no rain, you can still draw from the life force of Christ. That is an amazing picture. I get lots of pictures like these things, and when it's running, it's running. When if it's not, it's not. But today it's running. Is that okay? The other one I saw was I've had my son, Matt, he hasn't had a lot of carpentry work, so I've set him to task on my house to re-oil the windows. We're one of the only houses on the Central Coast that have timber windows, and in fact Australian red cedar timber windows, and you've got to keep the oil up to them, otherwise the force of the sun destroys the timber if it's not oiled. And oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And in order to restore the windows, it needed to have like an acid wash to get rid of all of the dirt. Don't go too hard, but just enough. And it brings the surface back, and just a quick coat of oil, and all of a sudden there's this resurface and it looks like it's brand new. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we're feeling that things are dry, that things are dull, we need more of the Holy Spirit in our life, and He's here and He's available today. And I'm believing for the transforming power of Christ. These are pictures this morning, all part of my message. These are pictures that about the restorative nature of God the Father here today. I don't know about... I'm preaching to 1,000 people this morning, okay? In myself, I'm preaching to 1,000 people. I'm believing that we're going to preach and we're going to see change and we're going to see lives change and this district and region changed because of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm excited about that, and I want you to get excited with me if you could. The fourth one that I got this morning was just after the telegraph poles, I saw this lone eagle, just one eagle in the sky, and it was just swooping and ducking and weaving. It was looking for food, I guess, whatever, vermin, whatever, to get a feed. And I asked the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? And he went through like this and he just disappeared. And it was like God say, go higher. Go higher. Don't stay in these circumstances. Don't stay at this level of the atmosphere. I just want you to go higher. I want you to disappear with me. I want you to listen to me, hear me, disappear with me. And I just feel that in the spirit, that we need to disappear with God. We need to get caught up in Him. Like this one here is just caught up in God right now. She could be here all the whole service, and that's perfectly fine. But God's doing restorative work in someone this morning. Isn't that good? So I just wanted to encourage you with those words this morning, and I'm just trusting that what I have to say this morning will be heard with hearing ears. With hearing ears, yeah, something like that. I'm going to release myself just to be myself today. I'm going to release myself from the clock and all of those things. I just want to flow in the Holy Spirit. If you've got to go, then you go. That's perfectly fine. But if the Holy Spirit's moving, I suggest you don't go. So I have had this word, and I believe it will set us free as it started to set me free as I did it. And it's in the area of words, and in particular, words of accusation. Our words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So if your tongue is a positive tongue, you're going to eat positive fruit. If your tongue is negative fruit, you're going to eat negative fruit, and it'll be part of your life. And it's meaning that you're going to eat something and it's going to do something inside of you. If you are positive with your tongue over your body, over your friends, over your church, it's going to do good. If it's the other way, it's not going to do good. James 3 talks about the tongue being like bits in a horse's mouth, a rudder on a large ship, a spark that lights a fire. Your tongue, this tiny little thing here in the middle of your face, has the power to turn a horse, has the power, this tiny little rudder on a huge big cruise ship is able to turn the huge cruise ship. And we know very well it has the power to light a fire that sometimes can't even be put out. It can cause so much damage. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to release us this morning of words of accusation. When words are spoken of accusation, they hinder us, they stop us, they cause us to be depressed, whatever, not feeling like you want to preach, not feeling like you want to worship, not feeling like you want to evangelize, not feeling like you should be doing the things that God's asked you to do. I remember when we started our church back at Bridge, back in 2008, it was like we had this open heaven VB. And for 2-3 years, we had no issues, no problems, no dramas. It's like the anointing, the grace was on to do whatever we wanted to do, and we did. But I remember vividly we had some discord. And every now and then you'll have discord in church and people leave and stuff like that. And that talk is like accusation in the spiritual realm. And we came up against a wall and we didn't know why. And you really need the spirit of discernment to discern what's going on and simply pray it off. Not pray against the person, but just pray those words of accusation off. And we did. I remember we did. We did that. And we came into another release, another field of exploration, another field of God and what he wanted to do with the church. And there's an amazing picture, which I'll get to here in a minute, in the book of Ezra, and about words of accusation and how it was stopped. But we'll come to that in a second. The world was made with words. God spoke it into being. He spoke light and there was light. He spoke all of creation. He said cow and there was a cow. He said tree and there was a tree. And there was a worm and there was goodness knows, all of the things that he spoke into existence, words are powerful. And he gives you and I the same creative power. Created Adam and Eve with the same creative power. Everything is held together by these words. All of these things are held together. You and I are held together by God's words. Have you heard of laminin, the laminin molecule? No? I was I'm looking at a little YouTube-y thing there on Facebook, and what's that guy's name? Louis Giglio, like Giglio, whatever his name is, and he was talking about, you know, how he loves the universe and the planets. By the way, we're still here, isn't that exciting? We had some invisible planet hitting us yesterday. We're all still here. I cannot believe how the church gets caught up in date-setting things. The world's going to end. I can't believe it. Every time it fails, it makes us look bad. We have to stop it. We really do have to stop it. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, to expand the kingdom of God. That's what he told us to do. And if we did that, we'd have a lot less of that other stuff going on. But anyway, don't let me get started on that. But there's this laminin molecule is this molecule that holds our whole body together. And it holds the skin on, it holds all of the parts of our body together, and under a microscope all the way down, it's a picture of the cross. You Google it, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, laminin. It's absolutely fascinating. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is holding us together. You feel like you're only just holding together? Well, pull on Christ, pull on the cross, pull on the blood, and start to stick yourself back together because of Jesus Christ. Start to speak the word, speak positive words about yourself. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. It's in him that we have this. So as I said, you and I are made in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, it talks about how we've been given all power and all authority had been given to Adam and Eve. And if we come all the way forward to the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, now we've been made a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It is all has changed. But God has restored power and authority to us in the Spirit. We have all authority and all power in the spiritual realm. So we are not just your average Joe Blow or Susie Sideshow. We are not your average person without Christ. Because you've got born again and came into Christ, all of a sudden you're connected to heaven. All of a sudden you're connected to God. You are far, far more powerful than you think. And we need to be careful because it's like we're kids holding dynamite and playing with dynamite sometimes with the words that we speak. I've had people in the world speak against me, either in business or whatever, those words don't really have much effect. They have a bit of an effect, but they really don't have much of an effect. But let me tell you, when I have a Christian brother speak against me or something happens like that, it has a huge effect on me. And that's what I'm trying to say. We have a responsibility. The minute we come into Christ, the minute we get to know God and we connect with heaven, we have a huge responsibility with our tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In Revelation chapter 12, if you've got your Bible there this morning, it's a great portion of Scripture, Revelation 12:10-12. Says this, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. What that says is basically God is, and the kingdom of God is here on the earth, and it's the authority of Jesus Christ that's running the show. For the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Who's been hurled down? Pardon? The devil. No, the enemy and the devil has been hurled down. There was once upon a time the devil could walk, the enemy could walk into the heavenly realms and say and do whatever he wanted to do. That has changed. Jesus changed that. He changed it with his blood. It even says in Colossians 2:15 that he's been disarmed. He has no power and authority over you anymore. But he tries with two things we'll talk about in a minute. So how did they overcome? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The word of your testimony is the most powerful thing that you have. Why? Because it's what Jesus has done in your life. It could be as simply as getting saved. It could be as simply as I got healed. It could be as simply as I prayed for someone and they got healed. Power of testimony because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So they overcame the hurled down one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. We do have an enemy. If you have a testimony about Jesus Christ, you have an enemy. That's exciting, isn't it? Sorry about that. It's scary in one sense, but I want to release us this morning from the fear. Because Jesus has won the battle. He's disarmed the hurled down one, and he has no power and authority over you as a Christian. And we need to stand in our power and authority that Jesus has won on the cross through his blood. I want to suggest to you that there's two main enemies, two major weapons, enemies, and they're both hinged in and around the power of the tongue. The first one's deception, and the second one's accusation, which I'm talking about. Deception, he's a liar. He comes and he lies. And every now and then you're going to need the spirit of discernment in order to be able to discern, is this the truth or is this a lie? Should I join with this or not join with that? Deception. We'll look at this story in Ezra in a second. And then the second one is accusation, where he comes to try and steal from us and rob us and make us ineffective. Christ is supreme. I love that bit in Colossians. If you read your word a lot, there's parts of your Bible that you just got to read over and over. And let me tell you, that Colossians bit there at the beginning, talking about the supremacy of Christ. Oh, gee, it gets me going. It encourages me no end. I'll repeat, if you have a testimony of Jesus' goodness in your life, you have an enemy. Your testimony enrages him. He cannot stand it. When you testify in church, when you praise and worship God, when you stand and you stand on your truth and your beliefs on what God said, it enrages him. He can't stand it. Our testimony has the power to destroy and hurl down the enemy. That's exciting, isn't it? That is one of the most greatest weapons we have, the power of our testimony. Because if you can just think this today, you don't have to have the most amazing testimony. Oh, I come off drugs and blah, 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 blah. I don't have one like that. I got saved in a Christian family. Work that out. But my testimony is powerful because it enrages the enemy. It hurls him down every single time. I want to encourage you with your testimony. You are all powerful and have all authority. Your tongue has life and death on it. Now I want to talk about a word on intercession. Intercession. Prayer is powerful. Our job in intercession and prayer is to get in alignment with heaven and bring it to earth. That's our job. Heaven to earth. Heaven to earth in Jesus' name. Praise God. Bless you, Julie. She's just a little wobbly. Yeah, hang on to that pole, sister. God's straightening you up, causing you to walk straight, not crooked. Thank you, Jesus. Give her a big hug, Pete. Our job is to get into agreement with heaven. That's our job. Jesus is interceding for you. He's praying good prayers about you. He's believing that all of your well-being is good. That's his prayer right now. However, you have an enemy trying to frustrate the plan of God in your life. Who has ever been frustrated and it just feels like it's the enemy having a go at you? And it generally comes through accusation. You may not see accusation because sometimes accusation's hidden and you don't know where it's coming from. And so we're going to break that today. We're going to break the spirit of accusation off our lives today. Who knows that things are established by two or three witnesses? Things are established this way in the spirit. And so it even gets worse when two or three Christian brothers are speaking against other Christian brothers, and it totally frustrates the kingdom of God, your walk, and the church, etc., etc. I know what I'm talking about. I've stood here. I know exactly what it means to be frustrated and not feel the anointing, not feel that God's on it. You know what I mean? There's you deliver well, but you just know it didn't hit the mark. The enemy is looking for saints to partner with in agreement, in accusation. If he can get you to be accusatory about some other brother or sister, his plans are winning because it's frustrating heaven. It's frustrating the kingdom. And we have to stop. When I'll call them foolish Christians gossip, and they slander and talebear, and they have resentment and bitterness, and have an accusation against another brother, you've just empowered the unseen realm. You've partnered with the enemy. But these words can be prayed off, and we're going to do that today. Is that cool? Because I just feel that there's been accusation. And there's this great picture in Ezra, the book of Ezra. We don't have to read it today, but I'll just summarize for the sake of time this morning. And Ezra was building the house of God. So you got Ezra and then Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the one that built, you know, he was the guy that battled and built. But Ezra was just the lead-up story in the Bible and talks about the rebuilding of God's house. And at the end of chapter 3, the foundations are down and ready for the structure to go up. I've been involved as a builder many, many times in the area of foundation and then left a project. I don't know what that is, but I've been called in to get foundations down. And foundations are at times tough to do because there's weather to deal with, there's dirt to deal with, there's steel. I remember tying steel in the bottom. I remember concrete trucks coming, still tying steel, blood all over my hands for the sake of the foundation. It had to be right. It had to be strong. And so this foundation was down. And the beginning of chapter 4, the enemy comes along in verse 2 and they say, "Let us help you build." And verse 3, their response was, "You will have no part in this." The enemy tries to come. The first weapon is deception. The enemy will try and come and he uses deception, and we need the gift of discernment to work out the truth. God said that they would build it. Not anybody else, that they would build it. They come along and they say, "We'll help you." No, you won't. You won't have any part of it. The second weapon that the enemy uses, and I've said, is accusation. By verse 6, they lodged an accusation to the king. By verse 24, the work came to a complete standstill for years. Isn't that interesting? "We've come to help." No, you can't. We could do with the help. Many bods as possible would be great. But God said that they would build it. Then these words of accusation come. So they obviously got offended. And the words of accusation went back to the king. And those words stopped the project. By chapter 5, it took the prophetic ministry to get it going again. Isn't that interesting? We see Haggai and Zechariah in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. Haggai and Zechariah, and the work began again, and the ministry of prophecy is here in this place. There's an anointing upon prophecy. When prophetic words are spoken, I deliberately did it this morning in four examples of prophetic. If you receive the prophetic, your building starts to build again. The words of accusation start to disappear. Words are powerful. Accusation must be dealt with in the spirit. King David had a very similar situation. Psalm 38. Verse 7, he says, he has massive back pain. And if you read in the fine print all the way through, it talks about the words and the curses of his enemies causes him to have back pain. Words like lips of poison, if you read the fine print, you'll see it was the words of accusation against David that caused him to have back pain. Lips of poison, arrows, vipers, spew words. It's interesting terminology. They all came to kill and to wound and to inflict. Words are powerful. These words are not just words. When we speak them as brothers and sisters, you must see it as they are death and life. over your own life, but more so over your Christian brothers, and more so over the church and the pastors of the church. It's crucial that we speak well. You may not understand it, but you have to trust that God's speaking to them. What's the answer? David's answer wasn't good. David prayed a prayer which wasn't good. I don't suggest you pray it. It was like words to the effect, well, if any part of this is true, take me out, kill me. That's not a good prayer. Our answer is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 26. And I just feel to read that this morning. Jesus spoke many parables and words and things that sometimes are hard to understand. But when you see this one, you'll start to understand. So just get it right, Matthew chapter 5. And it's talking about murder. And in my Bible I've put words. You've heard that it, and this is Jesus speaking, verse 21, so chapter 5, verse 21. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift. Here's the answer. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and so on and so on. Verse 25. Do it while you're still with him on the way to the court of heaven. Settle the account quickly. Don't let it fester. Don't keep speaking the same words. And basically what Jesus is saying is saying, you're still guilty of the same thing. And if we're really super, super honest, we are in some sense guilty of the same sins. He who is without sin cast the first stone. So what Jesus is saying, get to the courtyard of heaven quickly and say to God, Lord, it's true. I'm guilty too. Actually releases you, instantly releases you. It's humbling, but it releases you. Forgive me, God, because I'm guilty of the same thing. I appeal to the blood. I'm guilty. What happens there in the court of heaven, all of a sudden acceptance and grace starts to flood your being. The anointing starts to get stronger as we break these things in the spirit. We get back onto the ground of grace. We get back into mercy and a favor and anointing. Interesting little word, witchcraft. Galatians chapter 5, there's a list of the fruit of the spirit, and there's also a list of the fruit of the flesh. In the list of the fruit of the flesh, in verse 20, right in the middle of sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, and idolatry is the word witchcraft. And then it keeps going on: hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, factions, envy, etc. When a Christian allows himself to become embittered and criticise and to slander, it is a form of manipulation, and that's called witchcraft. I don't want to be tagged in as being someone who is operating in the area of witchcraft, because it's manipulative. It's soulish intent, and it comes off your tongue. I hope I'm saying this in such a way today that it's not coming across like too harsh, but I feel I'm really addressing something in the spirit here today. Not addressing you or anybody in particular, I'm addressing accusations in the spirit. And I'm bold enough to say it because I feel that's what God told me to say and to preach on today. The correct way to pray is in the Holy Spirit. Don't pray your ideas, because your ideas could end up being soulish, manipulative prayers. I feel the church should go this way. Soulish, manipulative prayer. I feel the pastor should preach this. Soulish, manipulative prayer. You have to trust God that He's leading the team here at this church. We want our pastors to be free. We want you to be free. We need to be free. And in order to be free, I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be dampened. I don't want to be lethargic. If the body of Christ got this as a whole, we would see the landscape change drastically. Because when church speaks against church and all of these battlefields, there's a big battle going on in the spiritual realm. And that's why unity is super, super important, that we unify in heart and mind about the kingdom of God, bringing heaven to earth. That's what it's about. So I don't want to speak my agenda. I don't want to speak those words. So we simply cut it off, because we are powerful and we have all authority. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. It's simple. Father, I pray today that the words of accusations will be cut off today in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every person in this church, over every person in this vicinity that's a Christian. I break off those words of accusations over our own lives, over families, over the pastors in this area. Father, I break it off this church in Jesus' name. And today we take new ground in the Spirit. And I see us taking new ground in the Spirit today. In the prayer room, I got emotional this morning because I saw myself taking new ground in the Spirit. And it's through these words of accusation that I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, stop. And that's the power and authority that we have. I want to just quickly lead us through four simple things that you can continue to do individually and as a church. The number one thing that you can do, and really is the foundation to battling all of this, is forgiveness. You will have no victory if you don't forgive. What did Jesus say? Bless those who curse you. Forgive those who sin against us. They're all the words that Jesus spoke. The foundational weapon for success in spiritual warfare is forgiveness. It's a doorway to a greater measure of anointing. I've had to forgive many times those who have said not so good things about me. And it's not that easy because they've really hurt you. Because your intent is good. Our intent is good. Our heart is good. The last thing we want to do is destroy people's lives. So we pray, God, forgive them. Lord, bless them. Give them renewal and revival. I release them. If you don't forgive, you end up in a prison. So the number one thing against accusations is forgiveness. The second most important thing to do, and we're leading to, I'm leading you to right now to being powerful and having authority to a greater measure. If you want power and authority in greater measure today, forgive. Forgive. As the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. The second thing is confess that I'm guilty of the same sin. You cannot say that you've never whispered something, that you've never said something. It is one of the most powerful things you can do. Have I ever resented someone? Have I ever held a grudge? You will never break through if you are a critical person. The critical part of it has to drop off. It's about getting rid of pride. It's about repenting. I'm guilty of the same sin. Forgive me, God. So there's twofold. First one's forgiveness. I forgive them. But I also humble myself and say I'm guilty of the same thing. The third thing, which is the opposite of resentment, is gratitude. Gratitude and praise does something in the spiritual realm. Today, we give thanks for the worship leaders that they give up their time and their effort and lead us in to the presence of God. Today, we're grateful for that. God, we're grateful for the leaders and the pastors of the church. They give up their time and they sacrifice so much. And we just want to bless them. Oh God, we're so grateful for them. I'm so grateful for the kitchen staff. Because after church I get to hoe down on a piece of chocolate cake and a cup of coffee or something like that. I'm so grateful. Gratitude and gratefulness for the gifts and callings upon people's lives. I'm grateful for the sound desk because this microphone turns into sound and goes into a iPod thing or whatever and goes out there, you know. I am just thankful for the cleaners of the church. Dave, Kath. I'm thankful for this building and this church. I'm so thankful, God, that we don't have to pack up and set up. We did that for blooming years. I'm so thankful we don't have to do that. Can you feel the change straight away? The minute I start to be grateful and thankful, there's something powerful about that. Forgiveness. Be humble enough to confess that I've done the same thing. Gratitude. All of a sudden makes you powerful and authority and anointing gets bigger. Then you can pray. Then you can exercise your authority, a different kind of authority. Earlier we prayed with an amount of authority. When we go through this exercise of forgiveness and confession and gratitude, all of a sudden the anointing gets stronger. The authority gets stronger. Then you can speak to those words of accusation with real authority. I come against the words written over people's heads. Some people walk around with words spoken over them from families right back. You're hopeless. You'll never amount to anything. I come against those words of accusation today in Jesus' name. Whoever's listening to this today, I set you free of those words of accusation. The heckler that sits on your shoulder and speaks silly things in your ear, I come against those words right now in Jesus' name. You know, Pete the Parrot sits on your shoulder and he starts speaking silly things. You need to break that off. And the way to do it is through that process. I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive the person that put those words there. Could have been my mum, could have been my dad, could have been some teacher, even a pastor, said you'll never amount to anything. Oh, I don't see the gift on your life. Those words of accusation, I break them now in Jesus' name. Those words that have been a curse, I break them now in Jesus' name. The words that have come to oppress you, I break them in Jesus' name. If you don't get victory straight away, do it again. If it doesn't break today, well, then do it again. Don't get to the end of today and say, oh, that didn't work. No, you've got to keep going and going and going at this until you break through. I can't do it for you. I can only encourage you to. If you want really, 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 really want breakthrough, you have to keep doing it again and again and again. I'm giving you the principles of breakthrough here this morning, of words of accusation. And I'll leave you with this little scripture, Ecclesiastes 10:20. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. The enemy has this knack of picking up what's in your heart, what's in your spirit, and what's in your intention. He has a way, and we must keep our heart pure, keep our heart soft. So I'm just going to pray this morning, and we're going to stop. We're going to eat that chocolate cake that Julie's just made in the oven. Bless you, Julie. Father, we forgive all those who have wronged us. We forgive them right now. See a mental picture of them. We forgive them right now. Anyone who's harmed us or slandered us, we forgive them right now. Any words that have been spoken over us, we choose to forgive right now. And Father, we release blessing right now over them. We bless them. We say, oh God, may they be abundantly blessed today. Father, at the same time, we confess the same guilt. Cleanse us today, God, of the very words and things that we may have spoken over somebody else. Heal me today, God. Forgive me today, God. Forgive me for thinking little of somebody. And today, God, I give thanks. I rejoice. I am grateful, Lord, that you're building this church. Lord, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That you are a good God. And by faith today, we take the prayer of authority now and we break off every word in the Spirit, every accusation, and we cut those words off right now. We break witchcraft and we cut off the curses today around our lives, around our leaders, around this church in Jesus' name. Heal us today, God. Deliver us from every bondage. And God, may we get back into your presence and into your anointing and into your grace. In your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church, meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.